you would, take your Bibles tonight and go with me to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. And we want to rehearse just a couple of things from our message last Wednesday night and then consider some new things tonight as we consider the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. Last Wednesday night, we were in the earlier portion of this text, verses 7 through 15, and we looked at the impact that the Holy Spirit has on the world, the secular world. And the Bible says that God was going to send a comforter. And the Bible says in verse number 8, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. And so we took our time last Wednesday night looking at these different items. And the Holy Spirit brings conviction to the world over the nature of their sin. The Bible says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible then speaks, and the convicting work of the Holy Spirit is that to convict of our righteousness versus the righteousness of God. The Bible says that he is perfect, that there is no sin in Almighty God. There is no sin found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that his righteousness as compared to our righteousness is vastly different. And the Bible tells us that we must exchange our filthy robes and rags of righteousness for the purity of the righteousness of Jesus Christ if we want to go to heaven. And then the Bible says that God, that the Holy Spirit speaks of judgment. And it lets us all know that there is a judgment day ahead. For the believer, that judgment day will be at the judgment seat of Christ, and we learn of that in 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. And for the unbeliever, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 20 that all will give an account of their life. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ will hold all lost mankind accountable for their rejection of Jesus and his gift of salvation. So the Holy Spirit has an active work in these three areas as it relates to the secular world. But tonight we move from what God is doing in secular society to what God is doing in the heart of every believer. And Jesus says in verse number 7, again, to rehearse this verse with you tonight, the Bible says in verse number 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And so the Lord is detailing the nature of his ascension and the nature of, in his departure, the Father will send a comforter, or what is in the Greek language, a paraclete, a one that will come alongside of the believer. And while we understand the influence of the Holy Spirit of God on the secular world, we understand that there are several things that are there for the believer that are in stark contrast to what God, the Holy Spirit, is doing in secular society. And so tonight we want to spend our time just looking at three simple things that the Holy Spirit does or has done on behalf of the believer and those that have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Again, the Lord said, I'm going to go away from you, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now, I want you to think for a moment about the disciples' mindset as it relates to this verse and hearing these words from the Lord Jesus Christ. For the last 3.5 years, these 11 remaining apostles have walked with the Lord Jesus Christ. They've stayed with the Lord Jesus Christ. They've listened to the Lord Jesus Christ. They've watched the Lord Jesus Christ. And to be quite honest, they've become very accustomed to his physical presence. And now the Lord is telling the 11, I'm going to go away from you. But something else is going to happen that is going to replace my physical presence. Now, if you would think with me for a moment about this, this had to be very hard for the apostles to comprehend. After 3.5 years of ministry, and after 3.5 years of walking and talking with the Lord Jesus Christ, and having him physically present with them, what would be possible as it relates to something that could replace the physical presence of the Lord Jesus Christ? No doubt they're thinking in their minds and in their hearts, Lord, if you are physically absent from us, how will we survive? How will we make it? How will we communicate? What will be the avenue by which we are taught? What will be the avenue by which we are encouraged and challenged and convicted? And the Lord Jesus Christ, again, knows all of this in advance. And he says to them something that's quite startling. He says, if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. Men, you do not yet understand this, and we're going to get to the details of the remaining verses in just a moment. But he's saying, you do not fully understand this yet, but I'm going to send this Comforter and his presence with you will actually be far better than my physical presence. And what Jesus Christ could do for them physically in ministering to these 11, the Holy Spirit, as we'll see, has done so much more in his presence in the lives of believers. It's interesting that I should cover this passage of Scripture in light of our physical absence one from another. I was having a conversation with several church folk the other day over the nature of man-made religion and how so many of the dogmas of man-made religion cannot be fulfilled while we are physically absent one from another. And so there are people that are very worried about not taking part in the sacraments. There are a lot of people that are very worried about not being in the assembly and not hearing what the head of their organization is saying. Because they look to a man, they look to a hierarchy, and in many ways they are trusting all these things that they do for their eternal life. Now, I'm not happy to be distant from our church family. The Bible says that we ought not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. But the Bible goes on to say that as we see the day of the return of the Lord approaching, we ought to be even more focused on getting together and worshiping our God. And so we do indeed look forward to that time frame where we will be back together physically. But in this time of being distanced, realize that if we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have the ever-present Holy Spirit of God with us whithersoever we go. Your salvation is not dependent upon anything that you have done or anything that you can do to earn eternal life. Your salvation came to you by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so we realize tonight that though we are physically distant one from another, though we've not seen each other as we have grown accustomed to, we have a very present Holy Spirit that has never left us, that will be with us every step of the way. And Jesus says, I'm going to be physically absent from you. Of course, we know that that will occur in his ascension. But he says to them, I'm going to send a comforter. And that comforter will do far more. Well, let's look at what the Holy Spirit does in ministry for the believer. And let's think about these verses. Would you look down at verses 12 through 15 with me for a moment? The Bible says in verse number 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Three simple things tonight by way of our Bible study that the Holy Spirit does on behalf of the believer. Again, in the physical departure of the Lord Jesus Christ, as he ascended back up into heaven, the Father sent his Spirit. Well, how has the Spirit benefited the believer? Well, first of all, we recognize that it starts with this matter of the inspiration of Scripture. The Holy Spirit is the one who inspired men. Many of these men, even standing before the Lord Jesus Christ, would have a part in authoring the Scriptures. And the Holy Spirit of God gives us, or has given us, God's Word. And the Bible says he will guide you into all truth. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So there were a number of things that the disciples would not yet learn or not yet hear from the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Holy Spirit of God would help them, would inspire them, would direct them in penning the words of a great portion of these scriptures. And here, some 2,000 years plus, we hold in our hands a faithful copy of what was originally inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. We hold in our hands a faithful, preserved word. And you and I can go to this book, and we may not digest it the first time, but as the Holy Spirit inspired those men to write this book, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit illuminates our eyes that we might understand what was written. Boy, what a blessing. The Bible says that Jesus Christ came into the world, and the Bible says that the Word was made flesh. Well, you and I don't have the physical presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have the flesh that came from the Word of Almighty God. But my friend, we have this book, and this book faithfully tells us exactly how that flesh was lived out, exactly how the Lord Jesus Christ lived his life here on this earth in perfection so that he could go to the cross of Calvary and die for your sins and mine. We do not have the physical presence of Almighty God, but we do have this completed canon of Scripture, this inspired word, this preserved word, this book that has been given to us that our eyes might be opened. It's interesting that when you read the Word of God, that in those early days of coming to know Jesus as our Savior, the Bible says that we are as newborn babes desiring the sincere milk of the Word. But then the Bible goes on to say that there comes a time where we should be moved from milk to meat. There's a number of things in this blessed book that I've grown very accustomed to. And I would convey to you that it's kind of the milk of the Word in my life. It's the simpler things. It's the items in which I would say, okay, the Holy Spirit of God has directed me in that, and I understand that. I get that. I understand my role in that. I understand how it applies to me. But boy, there's some other things that are in this book that are definitely still meat issues. And I'm reading the passage, and I'm reading the passage, and I'm digesting the passage, and I'm chewing on it, because I don't yet fully understand it. I'm asking the Holy Spirit, guide me in this book. I don't know how many times a believer will come to me and say, Pastor, I've read that passage 100 times, And I've never had God speak to me on that passage such as he did today. Well, what is that? It's the genius of this God-given book. This is not a book from man in which I read it once and I take man's opinion and then set it aside. No, this is a God-breathed book, and it is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Bible says it tells us the correct doctrine and the correct path that we ought to take. The Bible says that it is a mirror for my life. It shows me where I am in error, and it brings conviction to my heart that it might set me back on the right path of righteousness. The Holy Spirit of God inspired this book. And you and I have the opportunity to hold this inspired word in our hands and to be able to read from it day after day after day. The disciples were benefited by the physical presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. But even the Apostle Peter in his epistle said, I'm not referring back to the experiences that I had, though they were many, with the Lord Jesus Christ himself and being with him day after day, but I am referring to a more sure word. This word was given to us by the Holy Spirit of God. He not only gave us his word, and so we recognize the impact that the Holy Spirit has had upon our lives in Christ because he's given us this inspired word. He opens or he illuminates our eyes that we might understand the word. But then the Bible also says that that when we get saved, we become the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, the physical presence of the Lord Jesus Christ was represented in the body of one man. And so there were people that would walk in the villages and they would see that one man pass by, the God-man. The Lord Jesus Christ himself. Jesus, when he was here on the earth, knew no sin. He never ceased from being God, but he ceased for a time in the use of all of his godly attributes. He submitted himself to living in the body of a human being. And so you had the presence of one man, and the disciples were able to interact with that one man. But in the Lord's ascension, the Bible says, the Father has sent his Holy Spirit. And now we do not have the physical presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. We've become the temple of the living God. The Bible says that the Lord made the statement, any man that will open his heart's door and will receive me, I will come in and will sup with him and he with me. Instead of having the physical, bodily presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, as it were, you and I have, each one of us, the Holy Spirit of God living with us, living in us. This is why I say it's so much different in the mentality or the thinking of the disciples to say in their own minds, what could be better than the physical presence of Almighty God, having Jesus with us? The Word became flesh, and he dwelt in one singular body. But in his ascension, he sent to us his Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit resides within every believer. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. The Bible tells us that we are the temple of the Most High God when we've trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. The Bible says that this indwelling Spirit goes to war with our flesh and gives us the ability to overcome our flesh. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, in verses 16 to 18, that there is a constant battle between the flesh and the spirit. You know, before salvation, I followed after the desires of my flesh. I did what my flesh wanted to do because I had no indwelling Holy Spirit. Well, now that I'm saved, I have the ever-abiding Holy Spirit, and the Bible says he will not leave me. He will not leave me. No matter what fears may come, no matter what man will say against me, I am the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit of God. He is my earnest. He is my down payment on my eternal life. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 18, the Bible says that we can be filled, we can be under the control of the Holy Spirit of God. As I mentioned earlier, there are some of these things that were hard for the disciples to bear, and so there were things that the Lord did not reveal to them as of yet, but the Holy Spirit was going to at some point open their eyes and help them to see what was ahead. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. This is not bearing as though it's bearing a burden or something that is bad. This is something that I'm going to reveal to you in your maturity, and you'll be able to handle it much better. Well, I'm glad that when I was in kindergarten, my teachers didn't try to teach me algebra. I'm glad when I was in kindergarten, my teachers didn't try to teach me the chemistry details and how all the chemicals match up and how they're added together. I'm glad that in kindergarten, they kept it straightforward and simple. They taught me the alphabet. They taught me the sounds. They taught me how to write. All these things are in those early days of education. They taught me the simplicity of the mathematics, and they said 1 + 1 = 2. Why did they do it that way? Well, they understand that in K-5, I'm not able to bear the knowledge as of yet. But I'm so thankful that by the time I got up into the upper levels of high school and the upper levels of college, that they weren't still dwelling on the 1 + 1. Now, I would have passed a lot more math classes if they would have stayed with the 1 + 1. But I understand that I was not able at that young age, at that youthfulness, I was not able to bear it. But through the years of maturity, there are things that I can bear today that I was not able to bear earlier. This is what the Holy Spirit does for us. He matures us in the faith. He, again, as that dwelling presence, he convicts us when we are about to go astray. He provides that way of escape when the temptations of the flesh may come. We recognize the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God. So the first thing that we see in the Holy Spirit's coming is that he's going to teach them. He gave us the Word of God through the inspiration of these men. But then the Bible says we have his indwelling presence. And then number three, and I think this is wonderful, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit would bring glory to the Son. Would you look at verse number 14? He, speaking of the Holy Ghost, shall glorify me, speaking of Jesus Christ. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Basically, my friend, this gives us our pathway for glory. Our pathway for glorying in Jesus Christ and in his blessings and goodness. I want us all to realize that there is a very significant thing as it relates to the Holy Spirit's pointing people to Jesus Christ. And I want all of us to know that Jesus Christ is the focal point. There are many denominations today that try to point all of their followership to that of the Holy Spirit. Him, his attributes, his gifts, and everything like this. But the Bible says the Holy Spirit points people to Jesus Christ. It reminds people of what is going on with the Lord and what he taught and what he showed when he was here in his life. And we recognize that there is a significant reason for us to gather together and cause people to rejoice in Jesus, to whom all glory, laud, and honor is due. And the Bible says that as we understand it, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The Holy Spirit of God brings glory to the Son and works in our hearts and lives in such a way to demonstrate to us that we ought to do the same, to point people to Jesus Christ. Now, I said all those things tonight, and I said I wanted you to see the impact that the Holy Spirit is having on the believer. And I want you to think as we close tonight in terms of these things. The Lord had a physical presence with the 11 apostles. And he says, I'm going to show you something, or you're going to see something in the days ahead that is much better. And I want you to see how you think that my physical presence is the best thing that is out there. But in my departure, there's something that's going to be much better. In my departure, the Father is going to send the Spirit. And in sending the Spirit, here's what we're going to see. Now again, think with me in contrast to the physical presence of Jesus Christ. One body of the Lord Jesus Christ in one city at a time, in one area at a time, in one nation at a time. If we still had the Lord physically present today, how would it be different from what we're able to experience in our world with the Holy Spirit? Well, the Lord knew that persecution was going to come. The Lord knew that persecution was going to come, and it was going to spread believers out. And it was going to disperse the believers. And in dispersing the believers, they would now carry the gospel out into the known world. And it would not only disperse believers out into the rest of the world, but it would also have churches planted where now new individuals would come to the faith. And again, think with me for a moment about the nature of the physical presence of Jesus Christ versus the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit of God in the heart and life of every new convert. Now, I think you would agree with me tonight that we would love to have the physical presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. But think with me for a moment about the millions and millions of people that have trusted Jesus Christ and they've received the presence of God in their own heart and life. Churches have been raised up, and they have as the head of their church the Lord Jesus Christ. Every individual church has as their head the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit of God is working in and through each of those ministries. Now can you see, my friend, why the Lord says it's expedient for me to go away? We can see why the disciples would be thinking in their minds, what could be better than the physical presence of the Lord Jesus Christ? When the Lord knows when I go away, the Father's going to send the Comforter. And as people get saved and churches get planted, the Holy Spirit of God is going to open their eyes to the Word of God. The Holy Spirit of God is going to point them to Jesus Christ and everything he taught and everything he said. And each individual convert, each individual Christian, will have the Holy Spirit of God to guide them personally. We are absent one from another right now. But if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not absent from the Lord. You're not absent from Almighty God. Understand with me right now that you have the Holy Spirit of God teaching you the Word of God, teaching you the sayings of Jesus Christ, rehearsing everything that Jesus taught and lived. You have the Holy Spirit of God, and the Bible says we are sealed unto the day of redemption. Well, we do look forward to that day where we see our Savior face to face. But we know that the Holy Spirit of God has sealed us. And he will call us home to glory one day. The Holy Spirit has a ministry of reproof in the world. And the time will come that that ministry will end. And the tribulation will begin. But the Holy Spirit also has a ministry of counsel, conviction, and correction for the believer. Tonight, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm asking you to trust Jesus tonight. Meet him as your Savior. And allow the Holy Spirit to open your eyes as to all that is in this blessed book. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so very much for the opportunity to read from these passages and to consider the great investment that the Holy Spirit is making in our lives as believers. We might think to ourselves that there could be nothing better than the physical presence of the Lord, but he told the disciples, I'm going to go away, and something better is going to occur. And you're going to be distant one from another, but you're never going to go anywhere in which the Holy Spirit of God does not go with you. We thank you and praise you for the Word of God that was given to us by the Holy Spirit of God, and we pray that it would continue to have its desired effect in our lives, that we might be more and more like the Son of God. We're thankful for the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God and how he points people to Jesus Christ and glorifies the Lord. And I pray, Father, that we would follow in like manner. That we would be that sermon in shoes that you'd have us to be, that other people might come to know our blessed Savior. We thank you for the Savior. We thank you for the Spirit. Work in each life tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you for joining with us tonight here at FBT. We're delighted to have you each and every Wednesday night. And again, we look forward to our live streaming service on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. We will have the live streaming going on and going forward. But we will also have our first in-person service as well. And so again, if you check for those email updates as they come out from the church, and we'll be directed to keeping each one safe and sound as we return to an in-person service this coming Sunday at 10 a.m. Thank you and good night.